This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Oh man, we've been feeling I feel like we've been getting keeled softly all day, just trying to recover from what we witnessed last night, what we witnessed in this series against Las Vegas. Sean Keeler of the Denver Post writes, Avalanche playoff collapse shows Colorado is too comfortable under Joe Sakic, Jared Bednar. Sean, is it time for some kind of a change? I'm guessing you're going to say yes.
I am guessing yes, and good afternoon to you in spite of what's not been a really good 8 days.
It's been a miserable 8 days, man.
It went fast, didn't it?
Yep, like, it sure did.
It either was the fastest or the slowest 6 days of your life. As I was writing this last night in the column that we're talking about, you can see at DenverPost.com, boys and girls. Yeah, I was thinking, game one was Wednesday, and it's Tuesday night, and what happened? It was like a bad bender. It was like going to Vegas for 36 hours, and you don't remember what happened. But you do, and it stinks. It's not good. And I wish there was an easy answer, because the easiest answer, I've written it. I wrote it last year. Other columnists have written it. My esteemed colleague Troy Rank wrote it this morning, late last night. Your first inclination is always fire Jared Bednar. I kind of have a running joke that we have a fire Jared Bednar. Everyone's written a fire Jared Bednar, hire David Carl column by now. I've done my one. You can look it up. I did it a year ago at this time. Did pretty good numbers. I think people kind of agreed. And then they had one of their best regular seasons ever, and that kind of went away. But the problem is still there. It still stands. And that was the point of today's piece, and that is they just keep tweaking when nothing's getting better. And again, the case in point is their opponent. The Vegas changed coaches with, what, 9 games to go, 8 games to go in the regular season?
Yep.
And suddenly everybody stood to attention, kind of in the way that the Nuggets did a year ago. And the Avs keep doing the same thing pretty much every spring, and from last five years has led to the same results. And I know the counter arguments, no Val, but first their injuries, no Val, no Gabe for three of those years. Yep, terrible fortune. And in the case of Val Demons, he had to get figured out. Great. I mean, it's unfortunate, but he works through that. Well, yeah, okay, injuries this year. Nate in the knee, 2 games without Kale. Kale's clearly played hurt and played through a lot of stuff. But, I mean, Dallas played about two of their best players last year in the first round and got to the conference finals, too. So, everyone's playing hurt.
Yeah, everybody deals with it at some point, right?
It's like, you know, it's like navels. Everybody's got one. And what are you going to do with what you've been dealt? They've been dealt some bad hands. Jared Bednar is a good coach. Is he the best coach in this franchise history? He is by wins. He is by tenure. He is by consistency. Is he by rings? I don't know. I think everybody has one of the three that have one. And I don't know if there's a second one in him. I don't know if there's a second one in him with this configuration. And I think that's sad. It's probably not as sad as the Joker thing, but I think we talked about this a couple months ago, what would be a bigger disappointment now that we've had, gosh, two of them back-to-back now between the Avs and the Nuggets. The Joker being a singular generational talent is disappointing on its face. And the inability in that sport to kind of keep people around him. But you've got two Hall of Famers right now, and you traded a third in Mikko Rantanen to try to make this work. And you've got, in 8 years, you have two conference finals and one cup. It's good. It's not great. And it certainly should put everyone under scrutiny for what they want to do, but I'm not sure they will. You know, we're all saying get out the knives and we're all being reactionary. And I think they're having a presser tomorrow, last I heard, with Joe Sakic and Chris McFarland. And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be as reactionary as all of us have been.
I have a feeling they're not going to be. And here's the thing, Sean. Like I feel like I'm copping out here because I'm like in the middle. I totally get it. You know, firing Jared Bednar, it makes sense. Then there's this part of me that is trying to play the dangerous game of everything that you just highlighted, of all the excuses. And I realize that's a dangerous thing too, because you just said it. The Stars dealt with it. The Golden Knights fired their coach, like you said, late into the season, and it worked.
Didn't have Mark Stone for Game 1 and 2 either.
Yeah,
like the Avs didn't have Kale. No, and I think being in the middle is okay with this too, because it is hard. You are not a weak person, whether you're Brady, certainly not Brady, or an Avs fan. If you are on the fence today, going, when you take a deep breath after the disappointment, which you should have, and the sadness, which you should have, and to some degree the anger, which you should have, the frustration, to take a deep breath this morning and go, well, now what? Because if you fire Jared Bednar, the first question you have to always ask, because, again, we've all written it and we've all thought about it, is who are you going to get that's better, like, right now? Like, John Tortorella was sitting there 2 months ago for reasons, and he may be sitting there in 13 months for reasons, the way that Pete DeBoer always seems to be sitting there for 13 months, and that Jared hasn't. Jared is Jared. This is a very, very steady ship. I likened it to George Karl, not a perfect analogy, because people say George Karl didn't win a title and was constantly getting knocked out. That's true. But I think there's a constant in that it's a safe 50 to 55 win kind of team. The organization is in a good, steady place. It is not at a championship winning place. And that gap it's small, and it can be fluky, and it can be little things. And I think they will defend, and rightfully so, what they did this season, that being Joe and C-Mac. But what are we doing this for? Do you want the Avs to be a 55-win team every year? Or do you want one more cup with this core? And I think they're going to sell the former and downplay the factors that have kept them from the latter, if that makes sense. Like, I think you can have both, but the fact that you've had the former for so long, I think, and that gets to the point of the column, is it just feels like the Kroenkes and KSE, and to some degree Joe, are content. They look at this and say, you know, we're good, and we're good every year. We're going to be good every year we have Cale Makar. Yeah, that's probably true, because he's Cale Makar. And that's good enough. I think what the Avs have to ask themselves, well, here's what should have been the headline, Sean. What the Avs have to ask themselves, and are asking themselves, I hope, is this plateau very good enough? I would contend it isn't. But I can see why they would say it is. And that's why you're right to be on the fence, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, in the George Karl comparison, I actually kind of like, too, because look at those George Karl. Other than the year they went to the Western Conference Finals and they lost to the Lakers, that was a very good team. But I didn't really look at those George Karl. Yes, they had Carmelo Anthony. Yes, Kenyon Martin was very good. But did they had Carmelo Anthony. Did they have a Cale Makar? You know, was that supporting cast that amazing where every year we were like, yeah, the Nuggets are probably going to win a title? No, I think we thought maybe this is the year they get past the first round, you know? Yeah. But with Jared Bednar and these Avs, it's like every year we're like, they're a true contender, especially this year. They're the contender. And that's why I like the comparison, because if George Karl had a stacked roster, then we would have probably expected more. He probably would have got bounced sooner. I think a lot of what he did with the pieces left over from the Melo trade is probably what kept him around for a few more years.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny? We joked about splitting the goalie reps a week ago, you know, when we still had hopes and laughs. Game one, it'll
be fun. Those were fun. Those were good old times, Sean.
Those were the days, my friend. It was only 6 games ago. It feels like a longer reason. Oh, they should play Wedgwood at home and Blackwood on the road. I, you know, would that have helped in Game 3? I don't know. That's a lot of hindsighty of, oh, sure, you yanked Wedgwood for a second. Well, yeah, maybe, but were you scoring? The problem this whole series with Vegas was, were you ever gonna score on Hart at some point? I mean, let's just be real about what that was. That the offense just died, and a lot of the forwards and a lot of the middle six forwards were non-factors. Nick Law was a non-factor. Val got hurt before being in was a non-factor. How has anyone seen Arturi Lehkonen?
Anyone? Right, right,
right. And these are good players, and these are players that. And the point is, in that case, these are players in that middle six that really, in some of the top six, in Lehkonen's case, that really helped you get over those first two rounds, because it does take all four lines. It does take that entire roster. And that just stopped in the middle six. And Nate stopped. Gabe got a tip late, and they had moments, and it kind of came and went. Naz had a moment Game 3. I think Game 3 is going to take a lot out of people. I think it took pretty much – the series was turned to 1-2, obviously, because you can't lose two games at home to start it. But after that first period, I'm like, oh, Game 6, here we go. They're back. And the way that thing turned in the second period of Game 3 is, I think, should haunt people of where that literally was a fulcrum of, no, this is done and this is ending. But the thing with Bednar, and let's remember this, again, it's back to the arguments that are going to get made in his defense and the arguments that are getting made for a change. The fundamental problem is this with the Colorado Avalanche. With the Jared Bednar Avalanche, everyone knows how to beat them in the postseason. Like, what you could do, the Kings knew. The Wild knew. The Wild were beat up themselves and couldn't execute it. The Kings just couldn't. The Kings were not in that weight class and couldn't execute it. But they tried. A neutral zone, they 1-1-3-4 check, they would left wing lock, they had it all figured out. They grabbed the Pete DeBoer playbook and said, we're going to do this. And then Vegas just did the same thing. And then fundamentally, that's where, you know, you have your job review and you have to say to Jared, Dallas and Vegas, it's not necessarily the names on the front of the jerseys or the back. It's that this is a system that once anybody has at least enough depth to match you, it can stop the breakouts, it can stop your speed. Again, it stuns me that they looked slow and old and tired. Your system isn't working in this arena, in this playoff, you know, win or go home. So do you swap out? We swap out goalies home and away? Could they swap out coaches for the playoffs? And maybe that would be better somehow. I joke when I say that, but I think that's fundamental. It's a problem. It's not a culture. It's not necessarily a franchise altering problem, but it is a championship altering problem, because I think the book is out on these guys, and the book is out at Jared Bednar in the playoffs, and everybody kind of knows it. And that means you've got a shelf life. And I wonder if it's expired, because this is a really, really old team. And that would worry me if I were Sakic and McFarland too, because similar to the Nuggets, you don't have a lot of cap room, you don't have a lot of wiggle room, you don't have a lot of assets, and you don't have a lot of flexibility to remake on the fly other than what you've already done in the Mikko trade a year ago. Was their attempt to really remake this on the fly, the way that the Nuggets just did with the MPJ trade. It didn't work. It worked a little better here than it did on the basketball side, but you still ended up around better and still away from what should have been a title-winning team. Eric Johnson was on the Spin Chicklets podcast the other day, and he said, they've played the change of core piece card. I don't know, other than changing the coach, what cards you play next.
Yeah.
And he's right. You're running out of cards to play.
And that's, again, Sean, like where I lean on the, okay, it might make sense to move on from Bednar, because what else do you do? I mean, are we really talking about this roster? A week ago, we were like, wow, Chris McFarland, what he did before the trade deadline 2 years ago to ultimately set this team up for so much success now. That can't change in a week, I suppose. Something probably needs to change, though. And you get down to it, and it almost has to be Bednar just for the sake of doing something.
Yeah, I think that's the only play you have left. And as people have also pointed out rightly, this is a good coach that he might get a job instantly. And probably would. Like, he would instantly be the guy that any team would love to have. Because stability, high floor. Again, George Karl. Well, it's not again, different personalities. But good coaches. Is it going to help you? So one of my colleagues floated to me, maybe Tampa and the Avs should just do a trade one for one, Cooper and Bednar. And I laugh, but you know, because they've hit a wall. Like, they've had a good run, and ironically, they played each other 5 years ago for the title. 4 years ago for the title, and. You know, that's not the craziest thing I've heard. We're throwing out all kinds of crazy scenarios. But, you know, in a way, if you could swing that, maybe both those gentlemen would be better served for trying a different project. Because I think in both cases, they've hit the wall where they're at. And they both would be the first guy you would hire, one not the other, if they were there on the open market because they're good enough to be coaches in this league.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it is something. I think the other thing with McFarland and whatever sack could go over, and this is where it's really hard to some degree. Not only did you have at age 31 on average the oldest roster in hockey this last year, at least the NHL, $67 million of your $97 million in contracts for 26-27 are tied up in guys who are 31 years or older. And there's a bunch that are 34 and older. And that's the core. That's just time. But I don't know who's going to want to take those contracts the way that someone was willing to take a chance on Mikko because he was still a Hall of Famer in his prime and still has that prime, albeit a very expensive one. It's tough. You know, that's why those guys make the big bucks. I don't envy them in that regard because unless you're doing something wacky in trading for John Cooper, I don't know, or just openly swapping Bednar for Cooper, which I'm not sure either man would appreciate, and yet it's kind of meant as a compliment to both. I don't know. I think you have to look at something drastic because all your options are bad.
So I'll be curious to hear this press conference. Hopefully, you said tomorrow, Sean. That's the plan.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's either tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah.
We're hearing it's tomorrow,
which is
pretty quick.
Yeah.
Which
really
might tell me something big is happening.
Oh boy. Well.
So as you know, the sooner. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll be all ears for that one, my friend. Great. Hey, either way, like I said, I'm kind of on the fence, but what you wrote makes perfect sense, as it typically does, available at DenverPost.com. Sean, always appreciate your time, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Be well.
All right, you too. 39 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.